Our loving Heavenly Father, we linger in thy presence to bring thee our praise and our adoration and our thanksgiving. We thank thee most of all for thy great love for us and for the love of thy dear Savior, who humbled himself and gave himself that we might live. And Father, we thank thee also for the truth that has shined into our hearts and lives. We appreciate the message that has come to us, and we desire to be ambassadors for Christ. And this evening hour, we are grateful that thy servant has come from India, who has been a burning and a shining light there, carrying the torch of the truth widely among those people. And so bless his service this evening and bless our hearts that they may receive the blessings of this hour. Help us to be renewed in our determination to serve thee with gladness, with joy. And now bless us as we wait before thee. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm sure we're happy to have Brother Varma in our midst, and especially for this time for him to tell us more about the brethren that he meets with in India, so that we might get to know those who are our brethren in other lands that we have not had the opportunity to fellowship with. Brother Varma will take about an hour to tell us this, and at the end of the hour we will have some time left over for questions. So if you think of anything during the while he's making his presentation, remember your questions, and we will ask you after he is finished to present your questions. And so now we'll turn the meeting over to Brother Varma.
Thank you, Brother. Dear brothers and sisters, I thank my Heavenly Father for this great moment of joy he has given to me, the presence of you all, dear brethren, to share with you the wonderful, wonderful work that the Lord has given us, and opportunities to serve him and witness for the truth which we all love so much. And you know, it's such a great encouragement for me to share this with you, to see so many of you who are here just because you love the harvest work, you love India. And I'd like to thank every one of the brothers and sisters who personally came up to me and encouraged me in the harvest work by saying a few words, that they were knowing about the harvest, that they're praying about it, and really, you know, we are very few there in India who know the truth, and we really need a lot of encouragement. You know, it is like we need a lot of push, and by God's grace we had that, you know. And I would be very glad to say that many sisters in America have encouraged me really so very much in my harvest work. In this past 2 years, there was the sisters who used to email to me, and I used to write to them, and that was such an encouragement, brethren. Really, you know, when we have some joy, when we experience some joy, you need to say to somebody, really, and that encourages us. And somebody who loves it, and somebody who will enjoy it, and thank God for it. And I thank all the brothers and sisters here, and especially those who corresponded with me and encouraged me all these years. And I request the brethren here also to continue to write to me. You know, I'm very happy, really, because I came to know so many of you in this visit, you know. Normally we get a few brethren, one or two or three, visiting from America, you know. That's all, but Now I am here, right here, and I see so many brethren. It's such a great encouragement. But at the same time, you know, most of us, I just see and I may say hello, and we may say hello, but we may not get to know each other. And I do wish that I get to know each and every brother here, so that that's the greatest joy for me. And there is a card here, you know, which I have left it on the desk on the side. This is a response card. You know, we make it in three colors for three states in which the harvest work is going on. And Tamil, Telugu, and Kannada. So we offer this to them, and if those who are interested, they write their names and telephone numbers, and only those who are interested at the public meetings give it to us. So the remaining part is here. There are some. There's a chart of ages on this. Maybe you'd like to take one of these and keep it in your Bible and remember the harvest work. And there is our email on that. And if you could write some words once in a while, really it would be very encouraging for us. So dear brethren, I gave my testimony at the youth seminar already, so I don't want to do it again, but let me tell you that I am from a non-Bible student family, and it was so that when I was in my teens, that my uncle brought one Bible student to our house. His name was Brother Jayappa. Many of you may know Brother Jayappa. And Brother Jayappa used to come to my house once in a month and have studies. But I was not interested at all, because I was interested in playing cricket. And so many times he used to come in with a Bible and I used to go out with a bat. But it so happened that the Lord was so patient with me, and after some years, and at about when I was about 17 years or so, then I thought, you know, let me just sit once and see what this man has to say. And he was very, very, you know, zealous in what he was saying, and very excited. And I thought maybe there's something really there. And slowly I was interested, and gradually, and at the end of 1 year or so, I was interested in nothing else in this world than the truth. And I got, you know, glued to him. And I went wherever he went, whichever meeting. I went, I left my home. The first time in my life I never used to go anywhere. I went to my uncle's house in another city and stayed there and began to learn with him. So, brethren, that's how it was. And first I consecrated my life, then my mother. And then I married a Bible student, and so my wife is also consecrated. And by the grace of God, my sister and my brother-in-law are also consecrated. And they are right now at this moment in Australia. As our sister Vinnie was telling, that they are also in a convention. It's such a great joy to remember them. And so, brethren, that is how it was. And once I got the truth, and you know, and I really wanted to be full time for the Lord, you know, to serve for the truth in full time, and that was possible because my father left me a piece of property, which gave me a regular income. So I thought, instead of earning more money, I thought I could use the time and energy to witness for the truth, and it so happened that I tried to find somebody to tell. You know, I used to call myself a preacher, but I never preached anywhere, really. I never had a chance. And by the grace of God, I started to speak in one ecclesia, and so on. And I realized, after all, that God was with me. And it was so that I married one sister, as I told you. I was teaching her, I was studying with her, and I married her. And and afterwards, we decided we'll have a meeting in our house. You know, we opened our meeting, you know, just after the marriage, we thought we'll have a meeting. And then, brethren, one day we fixed up, and we called a lot many people. I went out and invited so many people for an evening meeting in our house, and I arranged about 15 chairs or so all in order and neat in the evening. And I and my wife sat down, waited, you know. The meeting was supposed to be at 6:30. And we waited till about 7:30 or so. And then I gave my first sermon to my wife and about 50 empty chairs. So that's how it was, brethren. So it's so difficult to get one person to hear us. And that's when I realized, for somebody to come to a meeting, it costs them one evening, and they have so many other things to do, and really, it was so. And then I and my wife decided that we have to go to their house, and we began to go door to door. Many hundreds of houses, we used to go and knock at them, and offer Bible studies, and some houses, they used to accept it for a while, and maybe after some time, we go to the house, and house is locked, and again we go, it is locked up. And we had many experiences like that until, brethren, we found, almost very providentially, I should say, and miraculously, some five young brethren, all in a short span of time, who were really very interested in the truth. And then we began to spend time with them, you know, and tell them all the counsels of God, all the truths with them. And the five brethren consecrated their life. And so it became a team. So from then on, brethren, it was so wonderful. Each one began to bring somebody else, you see, to the truth then. And I had a full-time job then. From morning 10 o'clock till night 10 o'clock, I would be only discussing. Various brethren coming at various times, you know. And so many times, you know, one group comes and they leave, another group come, and we always have tea break. And one tea, you know, and then again go to the subject. So it was so wonderful in this way. I have witnessed to several hundreds of individuals. You know, it's like saying the same thing over and over again. All the truth, all the doctrines, studying with them. So many times, the same thing. And that was really the preparation, you know, for the larger meetings. So that's how it was, brethren, and we wanted to do so many things, really. We wanted to put on ad and do so many things, public meetings. But really, there was nobody to encourage us in the sense that there were very few Bible students there, and we were all by ourselves, and we couldn't do that, you know. The income that we got was barely enough for us, but not for many projects that we had in mind. And that's when God opened a door, and I was invited to the International Convention in Miskolc, and there I went, brethren. I and my mother was privileged to be there, and as I went, and I and some brothers, we thought, should we have to tell this in a convention? And I was in two minds, really. Should we have to ask for some backing from the brethren for the witness work in India? And all the brethren said, yes, maybe you could put a word in, and maybe something might happen if the Lord wills. And just 1 minute I took in my speech to tell, you see, one sentence. There are about 1,000 people, you know, brethren there. And I said, there are a lot of things that we could do if we had some support. And that's all I said. Some of the 1,000 people there, really, those words fell on the ears of one beautiful sister who is with us today, Sister Ruth Cunningham. You know? And really, she was the one who encouraged me in such a wonderful way. You know, I remember I was walking down, you know, to the convention, and we needed books, you know. We needed concordance very much. And there were about 15 of us needed concordance. And I thought, you know, concordance. By the way, as we were walking, and Sister casually asked, oh, Brother Verma, is there any books that we could send which you could use? And I said, yes, concordance would be very useful. And she said, how many would you use? And I thought, really, shall I say 2 or 3 would be more? I was just thinking, you know, it's not good to ask too much. Suddenly she said, "Can you use 25? I really was thrilled, and such was the encouragement I got there. And after that, you know, see how technology can work. And she took the news to our brother Cunningham. And brother Cunningham has been coming to India for a long time. And he's a dear brother. Every single brother in India loves brother Cunningham. And so I love him too. And they both began to, you know, really pray about this and work about this. And the first real wonderful thing was breakout was they got us a computer by which we could correspond fast, you know, to each other. Really, the technology has really come to use. And I learned to do email, and Sister Ruth used to email to me and a lot of things. And just then, you know, we thought of having a public meeting, you know. One pastor who was 13 years, he was the pastor of a church called Maranatha, Jesus is Coming, you know. So he came to the truth, and really it was so wonderful, and he even changed the name of the church from Maranatha to Parousia. And recently had a son, and the son names is also called Parousia. So wonderful it was, and he had an experience in talking to people, and he said, we have to have a public meeting somehow, and I will bring my other members and so on. And then I was very glad, and he said, there's a room there, and in your place we can have that. And I went to check the place where he had chosen. Really, it was right on the road, you know, on the street, you know. Really, I thought, such a wonderful truth that we got, and how we can have it on the street, and we could have it, but we could really have a better place where people can sit and listen in quiet environment, and that's when I just put a word to our brother and sister Cunningham, and that was the first meeting we had, and we received the support in such a way that we could have a hall bigger than this, and that was the first public meeting that we had, brethren, in Bangalore. So public meeting. So brethren have questions as to whom we talk about, since I'm coming from India. So there are a lot of Hindus in India, and many think that we are always going to the Hindus. Brethren, we are not going to the Hindus, actually. In India, there are many millions of Christians. India is the most populated city, and there's a great population of Christians. And as we know, it's the harvest time, you know, and we have to reap where others have sown. And this is not the time to go out with fresh missionary work. And we go to the Christians, and we bring the Christians, you see, to know this truth. And it's a great challenge to do that, you know, because among so many people, India, the Christians, as a small minority, and to get to reach them is difficult. And normally what we do is we print a lot of pamphlets, many thousands of them, and we stand at various churches and we give it to them, and that's the only way you can get the Christians. Another way is, if it's not the church, then you go to the cemetery. You know, in the cemetery there is a special day in the year, you know, the November 2nd. Anybody know November 2nd? If you are from a Roman Catholic background, you would know it. All Souls Day. So, All Souls Day. The Roman Catholics believe all the souls come there on that day, and they go. And we also go regularly there, because souls do come there. And the living souls. And we give them the where are the dread and, and such things. And recently we used to give pamphlets and booklets, and the response was zero, because at that time they don't want to hear anything really. But then this year we had a plan. We thought we'll invite them for a meeting, and we made about 10,000 pamphlets, and we distributed in all the various cemeteries. Bangalore is a very big city of 5 million population. So brethren, and we expected really, now, at least something, you know, something better than zero. I'm so happy to say that nearly 15 people came. And among them, some are deeply interested. So that's one way. And another way is very amusing. In India, you know, we put, normally Christians put, we don't put anyway, the nominal Christians, all of them, almost everybody, they put stars on their house during Christmas time. You have that here? Stars? Yeah, lights. We have stars, just a star, you see. A star with the light, yeah. So, that also we tried, you know, to spot the Christians. Just like the Magis used the stars and they came to see Jesus. And at the same time, we go out with tracks and we see all the stars. And we go to their houses, offer the booklet and offer them studies. And in this way, we were able to start some meetings in some houses. So, brethren, there are so many ways that we have to adopt. But though we have some meetings for the Hindus also, we had one meeting on the same day for Hindus, Sunday morning, because Sunday morning no Christians will come, because they'll all be in their respective churches. So we had one meeting for the Hindus. Nearly 100 turned up. And for the Hindu meeting, and they rejoiced to hear that 1,000 years is going to come and there's a resurrection. And that is different from rejanma. Rejanma means once you die, you're lost, you're born again and again and again, never to be, you see, the same. But a resurrection is the same person coming back. You know, that is a beautiful comparison between, you know, what Hinduism says and the Bible says. It was wonderful. And we also had a meeting for the Muslims. It was entitled The Bible and the Quran. So, brethren, I had one hand Bible and other hand Quran. And we compared it, you see. And we, in a very, very sensitive and in a very good way, we told them that there was really so many things in the Bible which was really not in the Quran. And there's so many things, you know, brethren. The Quran has it that Jesus will come back and rule for 40 years, do you know? And we said, it's not 40 years, 1,000 years. And what will happen? Really, the Muslims, you know, nearly about 100, some came with their traditional dress and, you know, they gave me a clap after the meeting. So wonderful. So that's how, but of course we didn't have any accepting the truth afterwards, but that was a witness work. So brethren, that was our first meeting, and afterwards there came another opening. When one person from Andhra Pradesh, you know, there are three states in the south, where, you know, south, in these three states cover almost all the south, you see. That is called the Tamil Nadu, the Karnataka, and Andhra Pradesh. Now there are Bible students in Tamil Nadu and Karnataka. And in Karnataka only in two cities, in Mysore and Bangalore. In Tamil Nadu in several cities around Coimbatore area, that's all. They're big states, you know. And from Andhra Pradesh, there's not a single Bible student for the entire Andhra Pradesh. And my father happened to be coming from Andhra Pradesh. And undoubtedly I had some heart to go there. And one brother, one person, you know, he began to take studies with us. And afterwards he saw so much beautiful truth and said, I'm going to suggest you a name for our yearly public open a meeting in our church in Andhra. And you know, really it was wonderful. He went to those church people and said, I know a man who really knows so many things. And that's so when we were invited, you know, for an open air meeting outside the church, in the church ground. And that was the first, you see, open air we had. And we didn't have to spend a lot, but we had to go there and come back. That's all. And they did everything. We just had to go and be the guest speakers, you know. They even offered money for that, you know, for the traveling. But anyway, we didn't take that. So we went there. And really, for the first meeting in my life, really, brethren, I was so amazed. There were 2,000 people for that meeting. For all that, you know, nothing that we did, no advertisement, nothing. And through one man, you see, 2,000. And for 3 days, brethren, in the evening, up to 10 o'clock in the night, they would sit, hearing the wonderful good news of the kingdom. Now the 3 days, we had about the ransom, and the three worlds, and the three ways. It all centered about 1,000 years restitution and It's so wonderful. And after that, brethren, we had a follow-up meeting, started there every month, and we had 350 for the follow-up meeting. Once in a month, we took a big hall. And in fact, the church was willing to give the church building, but I knew better, you see. And therefore, we had it in separate place. 350, jam-packed, you know. We had to have this closed-circuit TV for those who came late. That's how it was. So every month I used to go there and have follow-up meetings there in Prabhator. And after some time, you see there's another, you know, from Prabhator, that is called Prabhator, maybe some of you are familiar with those names, another city opened up, and that's called Penakunda. And here in Penakunda, it went on. You see, there, that was also an open-air meeting, and there were not so many people, but at least about 400 there. And that was an independent church, you know. And that church was actually, that was called, you know, some church, but it was built in the memory of some Cunningham, you know, memory of Cunningham. You know, I thought maybe we would have it here. And I thought the pastor was all interested, the pastor, the president, they were all very keen, and I thought, why not have it here? Maybe the whole church might accept the truth, you know. And it was as though they were accepting it, you know. I went past through Seoul and hell, and that they were accepting it. And the day I took on Trinity, brethren, that was a real surprise for me. The next month I go there, the whole church boycotted the meeting, except the president and the pastor. Really. That was very, very insulting. And very difficult to take in. Because when we had opened a meeting there, there was so much joy. They had garlands. You know, in India we put flower garlands. And they wanted a group photo with me in the center. And they wanted to, you know, one wanted to sit on the right and on the left and the photograph. And after the Trinity class, really, that was the case. But really, brethren, still, you know, I remember, there's one brother there, one person called Bharat. He is a graduate in science. He had come all the way from a nearby place to hear that sermon. And he was really, you know, and I'm so glad to say that so fast he accepted the whole truth, came out of the church, and he's a Bible student. That one person, I really think sometimes maybe it is for that one person that the whole meeting was conducted. So zealous. But also there are others also, you know, after some time about nearly one house opened up. If the church don't want you, have it in my house. We're having it about nearly 12 to 15 brethren are there. I mean, people taking studies in Penakunda. And then we had in Vellore. And Vellore, there was nobody inviting us, so we had to do the whole thing. And that was the biggest thing that we did, you know. In the open air, we took a big ground, Tipu Sultan fort ground, and then we made advertisements and the newspapers and all this. And that really was also through one individual. That was my cousin, Sister Lydia. I was teaching her for 1 year. And in that 1 year, I learned Tamil. And I was teaching a small sister's group too. I was able to pick up Tamil, and afterwards this public meeting we had. And then that was also so wonderful. And I have some slides and videos, of course, you will get a better picture, and in which nearly 900 people came, in spite of a small rain. You see, they came. And the title was, What Will Happen in 2000 AD? You see, many people were thinking that Christ will come back and 2000. There's so many, you know, many churches, they didn't want to say, this or that, you know. He will not come down, not come, or what if he come then? So they were all silent, you know, that's when we had the meeting. What will happen in 2000 AD? And that attracted so many people. And that was the time when we told them about the parousia, beginning from 1874, and that was a wonderful meeting. And that was the most zealous, you know, that's where we found very zealous people. And, you know, and we had a follow-up meeting in which principal of a school, you know, he gave us a big hall in the school auditorium, free for us to have meetings in. We had meetings for 1 year. First we had whole day meetings, you know. Just imagine, whole day they sit. We have four sessions from morning till evening on a second Saturday. And they sit and so wonderful there. They listen to all the truth. And then after 1 year, brethren, I'm so happy to say, there was an ecclesia formed in Vellore of 45 brethren. So that was really wonderful. In 1 year, an ecclesia formed there. So that was a great encouragement for us. And after this, we thought we should have something in Bangalore again, you see, as in an open-air form. And before that, of course, we had one in Anandpur. And in Anandpur, there was the fourth enemy very powerfully against us. You know, normally many brethren ask, you know, do you have a position in India? We have from the Hindus, yes, because the Hindu fundamentalists are there, and they are in the government in power now. And really, we were attacked once on the Passover Day, Memorial Day, Memorial Supper Day, in which the brethren were beaten up in front of the church, who remained after that, and the blood was all on the door. It was very, very, and of course, we always live in some sort of a fear, you know. You know, the RS people, they are called the RSS people, you know, and they hate all Christians. They think all Christians are converting the Hindus and they don't want to have anything with them. We have that fear, but a greater, you see, adversary is the fourth enemy, the nominal church. You know, really. Once they know that the doctrines and we don't believe in Trinity, and that shakes the very foundation of the churches and they're trying to, you know, say all manner of things against us and to stop and spoil the work. So that happened in Anandpur after a big effort, you know, but still 100 people came. In spite of that, to see, you know, even if they are, you know, they mistake us as the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know. And that's the problem, we don't use this emblem, the cross and the crown. Because this is on all the Jehovah's Witnesses magazines. And that was on my tie. And really, some of them thought I was Jehovah's Witness. Really, since then I stopped using the tie. So really, we have to be wiser serpents. But still 100 people came, you know, just to see what this Jehovah's Witness might have to say. And as a result, we have a small group in Anandpur who are studying the truth now. And then we had the Bangalore. In the Bangalore meeting, the Chicago Bible students were involved, which they also supported for the Bangalore meeting. And brother, and that was the real big meeting we had. You know, Bangalore is such a big city and we had to spend so much of money on advertisement and so much, you know. We put wall posters, big wall posters, some of which Brother Cunningham must have showed it to you. Big wall posters, we had to paste it on walls, thousands of them, and distribute. Nearly about 40,000 pamphlets we distributed at the churches. And then, brethren, we had the meeting, and it was for 6 days. And the subjects were so, all very interesting, how to study the Bible, and ransom, and so many wonderful, Daniel, second chapter of the kingdom. And really, so many people came. So wonderful. And as a result, you see, brethren, now we have 100 people studying in a follow-up meeting after that. And that is in our own hall. And they come. Week after week. That's a weekly meeting. Every Sunday evening they come. And it's so wonderful, brethren. They're studying. So this is very, very encouraging to us. And as this happened, you know, the wonderful ways, you know, it happens. You know, we in our ecclesia, there are 37 consecrated brethren. And now there are about more than 100 were studying. Maybe next year we may have something like Velur happening, because we have passed most of the subjects and they're still surviving. We have finished on Trinity and soul and hell and still they are there. So they are the ones who are really strong wheat, I think. And we may have, and I think really our ecclesia may double up, you see, in 1 year. You see, what took nearly so many years to double up, now because of this public meeting, you see, it is coming out so wonderfully. And then, brethren, the wonderful way in which, you know, one thing happened is that one sister was studying. You know, she had come visiting Bangalore from Andhra Pradesh. And my sister told her on a birthday party, oh, my brother, he gives Bible studies, very interesting. And she said, I must see him. And then we had studies with her. Has to go in a hot, you know, summer afternoon. Of course, hot summer afternoon, it will be look very pleasant for us in this weather. But, you know, it's very hot there sometimes. And has to go just to see, teach one sister. I had to travel so far. But I was happy to do that, you know. And then that sister brought her husband to study with us. And both of them were able to study full and they consecrated their life. Two of them. They are an elderly couple. And afterwards, you know, they even wanted to move to Bangalore, you know, because there's the truth here. But then they again thought, if we come to Bangalore, who will take the truth to our city? And they live from in a city called Rajahmundry. And those two, they thought we will have something. We'll get Brother Varma to Rajahmundry. And those two brethren, they began to work in Rajahmundry. And they sponsored one full public meeting in Rajahmundry. And we had a public meeting in Rajahmundry, I should say one of the best so far. Really so wonderful. And nearly 900 people attended in Rajahmundry. And now we have the follow-up meetings going on there. So as a result of one person coming to the truth. So it's really wonderful, brethren. And then in Bangalore we have our own hall now. And as those who are taking studies in six cities, as they are coming to different stages, you know, and we thought we should all get them together in one place. And we had our own hall and we had two conventions so far, which all the new brethren coming in, seeing other Bible students. And that was very encouraging. So brethren, that's how it was and the harvest is really going on wonderful. Now I think at this time I'll show you some slides first and then the video. Maybe the slides and the video is not so good, but oh, the first is Brother Cunningham. Oh, that's because Brother Cunningham and Sister Ruth were the, you know, pioneers to encourage us. And that's taken many years back. And that was the tie I was wearing in Anandpur. Anyway. Oh, sorry. I did the reverse. Yeah, that's my wife and my son. This is how we used to have the cottage meetings before. In houses with individuals. It's my residence office. This is our church office. And my mother and Brother Naresh, Brother Williams, and Brother Srinivas, Brother Lewis. Are coming to the 6 days of Bible feast. And this is just to give you about the kingdom, the thoughts. But my dear brothers and sisters, think on these things. Nivilli keldanta aarjustane vishigalna. Niyoshne maadi. ನಿಮಗೆ ಯಾವುದೇ ಪ್ರಶ್ನೆ ಬಂದರೂ ನಾನೆಲ್ಲೋ ಓಡೋಗ್ಬಿಡ್ದಿಲ್ಲ, ನಾನು ಬೆಂಗಳೂರಿನಲ್ಲೇ ಇರ್ತೀನಿ. ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಇನ್ ಬ್ಯಾಂಗ್ಳೂರ್, ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು, ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಬ್ರದರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಿಸ್ಟರ್ಸ್. ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಯು ಮೈ ಅಡ್ರೆಸ್. ಯು ಕಮ್ ಟು ದ ಫಾಲೋ ಅಪ್ ಮೀಟಿಂಗ್ಸ್, ಯು ಆಸ್ಕ್ ಆಲ್ ಯುವರ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್ಸ್, ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್, ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ಫೈಂಡ್ ಔಟ್ ಗಾಡ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ಗ್ರೋ ಇನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್. ಅದನ್ನ ಕರ್ತನೆ ಪ್ರಿಯರೇ, ಬರುವಂತಹ ಫಾಲೋ ಅಪ್ ಮೀಟಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಅಲ್ಲಿ ಜೂನ್ 3-4 ಸಾಯಂಕಾಲದಲ್ಲಿ ನೀವು ಬಿಡುವು ಮಾಡ್ಕೊಂಡು ಬರುವುದಾದ್ರೆ ನಿಮಗೆ ಅನೇಕ ವಿಷಯಗಳು ಇನ್ನು ನಾವು ಚರ್ಚೆ ಮಾಡೋಣ, ನಿಮ್ಮ ಪ್ರಶ್ನೆಗಳೆಲ್ಲ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಆಗ್ತದೆ. ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಬ್ರದರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಿಸ್ಟರ್ಸ್, ಐ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಆಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್. ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್, June 3rd, ಗಾಡ್ ವಿಲ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಮೀಟ್ ಅಗೇನ್. ತಮಿಳ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಅಟ್ 6:30, ತಮಿಳ್ 6:30 ನಮ್ಮುಡಿಯ ಜೇಸು ಕೃಪಾ ಕಾಂಪ್ಲೆಕ್ಸ್ ಬ್ಯಾಂಗ್ಳೂರ್ ಏರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ರೋಡ್ ಇರುಕರೆ ಇಡತ್ತಲ 6:30 June 3rd ತಮಿಳ್ ಇರುಕರೋ. ಆನ್ ಆನ್ June 4th ಸಂಡೇ 4:00 4 ಗಂಟೆಗೆ ಕನ್ನಡದಲ್ಲಿ ಇರ್ತದೆ. ಸೋ ಬ್ರದರ್ನ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಬ್ಯಾಂಗ್ಳೂರ್ ಓಪನ್ ಎ ಮೀಟಿಂಗ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಯೂನಿಕ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಮೀಟಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಯು ನೋ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ನೋಟಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನೋ ಕಲೆಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್, ನೋ ಫೀಸ್, ನೋ ರಿಜಿಸ್ಟ್ರೇಷನ್, ನಥಿಂಗ್. ಸೋ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಟೋಟಲಿ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಮೀಟಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆರ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್. And then after this, we ask them for a follow-up meeting. In the follow-up meetings, what do we teach? We have, you know, from the past experience of teaching so many individuals, we have about 50 classes, you see, in which it covers a whole year, every week class. In 1 year, we'll take them from all the important things in the volumes, you see, which covers all the things, like the Trinity, the soul, the hell, the covenants, the second coming, the Antichrist, and really to take a lot of time to read all that. And we cover everything. And we give a lot of room for their questions and really, and by, as we give them literature also, and it is going to strengthen them. You know, we just don't throw a book at them, volume at them. We see that they understand. And so, brethren, by the way, I'm very glad to tell you, brethren, that all this we are able to do because of your prayers and your involvement and your support. We would never be able to do this by ourselves. So this is something that you have done, and it's a great encouragement. Continue to remember this in your prayers so that we could, together as a body, we could do much for the harvest work in our part of the world. Thank you. If you have any questions, I'm looking forward, because my thing is not over, so I'm hoping that somebody will ask something, you see. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions for Brother Arma? Brother Russ?
Roughly how many consecrated would Brother Arma estimate are in India?
In the whole of India.
Yes.
How many?
You have on ecclesia formed brethren, 45 brethren consecrated. Yeah.
But he means in the whole of India.
The whole of India.
Yeah. 45?
Whole of India. I'm telling only the, since the witness work started, since these public meetings.
Oh, yes.
In the whole of India, there may be about, at the most, 500 brethren, Bible students.
Thank you.
Yes.
Wait for the mic.
Do you have children's meetings?
Oh, in our ecclesia, you know, there are many youngsters, and we do have children. And recently, we elected one sister to be in charge of the children. And as we have more children, probably we'll have more children's meetings. Yes.
One in the back.
Brother Varma, do you think that there's potential in the United States for such interest and activity to organize public meetings as you have in India?
Oh, yeah. We could give a try. I think you've been doing a lot in that direction. And in fact, we do have a meeting on January 13th in New Jersey, in which the Brother and Sister Gray are opening a public meeting in which we are giving a try again. But I'm sure you're doing a lot. But you're not been having so much responses, I think. And that is because the harvest started here a long time back. And many have heard the truth. But in India, it's all fresh. Now, what happened in America about 100 years back is now started in India. So we have more responses in America, in India.
I noticed you mentioned you have meetings on Sunday. Do you have any within the middle of the week or so?
Yes. Every Wednesday we have volume studies, and sometimes we have alternate days. We have testimony meetings, and sometimes we just take the reprints and we study them. In the evenings, on Wednesday evenings.
Thank you, Brother Varma, for your presentation. In Brother Russell's day, Sunday meetings, it seems to me from reading Brother Russell, their Sunday meetings were semi-public for the majority of what his ministry. And it seems to me like you are doing the same. Are all your Sunday meetings Sunday afternoons to encourage those in the churches that meet on Sunday morning to come out?
Yeah. We have the follow-up meeting on Sunday evenings. We never invite the newcomers to Sunday morning. You see, they have their own churches, and it is for them to decide. And after, by the end, the classes are finished, then there is one important class, you know, that is come out of Babylon. So many come out of Babylon even before we take the subject, but we don't expect to call them before that. Because Sunday mornings, we have our own service. And it would be dangerous for them to come there because they hear something too much. And like the second coming, if they hear in the beginning, then you will not have their second coming to the meeting.
I noticed you had a picture of one of the sisters behind the book table, and I was wondering how much the sisters are involved in the witness effort.
Oh, wonderful. The sisters, they are in the book table, and they are the ones, you know, who give this response cards. You know, they are the ones who note down the addresses and note down specially those who show real interest, you know, find out more about them. And that work is very, very important because when you see about 500 or 600 people at a time, you really don't know who is really interested. And so that they are the ones who do that most.
Thank you, Brother Varma. You're very inspiring. You mentioned numbers like 10,000 pamphlets?
40,000.
40,000. How are they distributed? Who distributes them?
The brethren. And we have cooperation from other ecclesias too, in which they send out brethren, young brethren who stand at the churches and give us. And that has to be done on Sunday. So sometimes we have to skip our service to be at the other church door, you know, to give the pamphlets.
Brother Varma, about the subject of translations, I saw you had some brethren by a computer. What percentage of the brethren, or the public that you are interacting with, can actually read the English? And then how about the other languages that are being used for translation? Could you tell us something about the current work?
The percentage, yeah. There are quite a few who can understand English, but still not so good English, you know, as it is in the volumes. And, you know, in the volumes, it is it's a Victorian style of English, and which is difficult. And anyway, many can't understand English, so they need it in their own language. Yes, and we have efforts in that. In three languages, we are pursuing the translation. And I'm very glad to say that I brought one volume in Tamil, just finished, you know, just before I came here. And we have one ready in Kannada, just ready to be printed. And we have the second and the third Tamil getting readied, and that is going on. And until then, we have to manage with the English, though.
Brother Varma, I'm wondering, in Pastor Russell's day, coal porter work was very big. How is the coal porter work in India?
Oh, that's what I was doing in the beginning. But really, you know, we find this type of public witness more rewarding. You know, in the sense that, you know, people, when you go to the doorstep and offer something, they normally look down upon it, you know. But when you organize a meeting like this and they hear something, you know, really, and then they treat you, you know, wonderfully. Not the question that we care for the treatment, but they really, they want to learn from you, you know.
And your follow-up meetings, how many follow-up meetings do you have going on?
Right now?
Yes.
Six cities, six follow-up meetings.
Each week?
Some that are near is every week we have on different dates in the evening. And some which are far, like Rajahmundry, I have to go there for 23 hours, traveling in terrain, 23 hours. Travel so much, I have 3 days, you see. Friday, Saturday and Sunday. 3 evenings I go and come back. So that is once in a month. But we cover up 3 subjects. But if I had a plane, I can go in 3 hours. That's all? Yes. There's still 15 minutes to go, I think, right?
Yeah, but if they have no more, you're finished by
the Okay.
Brother Varma, you mentioned that they associated you with the JWs. Are the JWs quite prominent in India?
Yes, they are very prominently known, though there are not too many, but all the churches know about the Jehovah's Witness and they hate them. They hate them. And if you should know that you are also something like that, you know, It nothing works out. They will never go for a Jehovah's Witnesses meeting. So we have to be very, very careful, brethren. You know, wise as the serpents. You know, we have to see that, you know, we don't tell about the Trinity. You know, even if they ask, we say that, oh, that's a later on class, brethren. Yes, we will discuss about that. But we tell them the wonderful truth of the 1,000 years of ransom for all. You see, and we see that is, you know, hit upon their mind, you know, hit the nail, you know, like, and once they accept the ransom and the restitution, then it is easy for you to talk to them. Then you tell them about the soul, that it is not immortal, and the hell. And by that time, after that, if you tell them even about the Trinity, they might survive, because they have seen so much good in the truth. So that's why we are very, very careful about that. And even the second coming, and then so many antichrist, and these are the subjects which we keep to the end.
Brother Varma, you said that the Jehovah Witnesses are using the cross and crown symbol in India.
Yes, they are using.
This seems very strange to me, because they make such a point that there is no cross, that it was a stake.
Yes, but they used to use, I think, at least.
Okay.
But somehow, they now, nowadays they are not using it. Yes, they don't use the cross. They refer to it as a tree. But somehow that emblem, anybody show it to anybody, they'll say it's got to do with Jehovah's Witnesses. And for that reason, you know, we have put a cross on our church, in our hall. You know, just to show that we are not Jehovah's Witness, you know. Jehovah's Witness would not do that. And in our meetings, we stress on Jesus, you see, particularly in the beginning, so that they get to know that we believe in Jesus. They believe that, they think that Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't respect Jesus or reverence Him. So we use that Jesus. And on our text, you know, we have Jesus' verses also. And sometimes, you know, a cross also will help. Just a cross. Not a cross and the crown, but just a cross. So that they think, oh, this is one of us, and they come to the meeting. And these are some things which we have to do, brethren. We need to.
Dan needs the exercise.
I think I can hear you from there.
I apologize for not thinking of it earlier. Two questions. One is with regard to participation by sisters. Knowing that culturally things are quite different over in India, are sisters encouraged to inquire or ask questions in the meetings, or how is that handled?
Yes, first of all, we do believe that the sisters are also running for the same prize as the brothers, and there's one hope of calling and one body, one baptism, and that's the main thing. And secondly, they're very much encouraged. Though we don't have so many interested sisters as we have here. I see so many sisters. Really, the sisters here are marvelous. The way they work, and I see Sister Ruth, Sister Rebecca, Sister Alice, some of them I know, really wonderful, always talking about the truth. And we don't have too many in India, because the sisters in India, they are consecrated, but they're not so much. But there are a few who are very consecrated. They have a lot of questions too. Yeah. And their work really is wonderful, you know, their assistants. And they have to write letters, you know, to announce our meetings, follow-up meetings. We have to write several hundreds. You see, 900 for Rajahmundry. You have to write it. Letters and correspondence, and that the sisters only can do. And then they do it. They do a good job.
My second question has to do with when you assist in the organization of an ecclesia, do they typically follow the general advice of the sixth volume, or
yes.
How do you structure that?
We have election
that?
By stretching out the hand, and that's how we elect the deacons, the secretary, the treasurer, and that's how it is done. And for any decision that we have to take, which is of importance, we ask the ecclesia on their opinion, and we proceed. Yes? Yes.
Do you use the newspaper or the radio for advertising, or is that...
we
cost prohibitive.
Yeah, we use a newspaper. The radio is now so outdated, nobody listen to the radio, really. And the newspapers are the best. But we are planning to have a big meeting, one of the biggest and the most important place in whole of India. That's the Madras in Chennai, which is called Chennai now, Madras. And that's a city nearly 5 times bigger than Bangalore. And that's where really interested Christians are. The Tamilians are the most interested and zealous, like us in Vellore. So there we may have to use television too, because we can't cover that big metropolitan city otherwise.
Do you sing at the opening or closing of your services?
Oh, we sing in our ecclesias, in our services. We have three hymns starting in the middle and in the ending. And in our follow-up meetings, we have it in Bangalore. We have a hymn just like this, hymns. But in the public meeting, we don't have any hymns. And we put some nice music, you know. We don't have anything on the stage. Normally, the chief guest and they all sit and they honor each other and nothing is there. There's an empty stage. Nobody sits on the chair, on the stage. And we put some music until the people are coming. And then at 7 o'clock or whatever time we start. Yes, I'll tell you one or two things, you know, before I close, brethren. Really, I'm very encouraged. I thought, I was asking, brother, will there be any questions at all? Really, I thought. I'm so happy. You know, it is not only the, you know, the... to sow the seed or convert anybody, but it is among the Christians and we offer them the truth. And then there are so many who want to know the truth. They're from all denominations. We have people coming from Methodist, Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist, all types of people, and we have all types of questions. And really, there's another question that is, oh, you are having too many meetings and you're what you call a thin out, you know, are you able to follow up? And really, brethren, first of all, you know, being a full-time at this, you know, I have a lot of time. And not only myself, there are so many other brethren who are very capable, who can lead the follow-up meetings. You see, now in my absence, all the meetings are there, and Dr. Prasad is going to further tour, and Brother Williams is in Bangalore, and so on. So we have, you know, we can do a lot of things. And also, you know, by the time we have a new meeting, suppose in May we are planning to have in Madras, by the time the Bangalore and the Vellore meetings, the follow-up would be over, and by the time they would be established, you know, and there are other brethren who were there to take care of them, so that we can concentrate on new areas, and we can visit them, say, I can visit them once in a month, there are other brethren going alternate weeks, and they have the volumes and to study, and like that. So, brethren, it is not only the crowd. Usually it starts with 2,000. But when you come to the end of the year and all the subjects are over, some drop out at the soul itself, and some are Trinity, or some are Antichrist. I remember one sister was very zealously coming, you know, and she was coming until the Antichrist class, you know, came and was talking about the taking of titles, reverend and all that. And since that day she stopped. And I was wondering what happened. And then I came to know that her own brother was a reverend, you know, and a bishop. But there was another brother, though. He was a reverend. And after the class on reverend, you know, he came up to me, Mike, and he said, all these days I was calling myself the reverend. And from this day I'm not reverend, I'm a brother Joseph. That is really wonderful, you know. So it's happening, you know, but the few will remain, you know, the little flock. It has always got to be a little flock. And there is so much of separating the tares, you know, that's also part of the harvest, I think. And that's going on. So from 900, it came to 45 in Vellore, and it's about the same in Proletor. So it comes down, but we are still happy we have 45 in 1 year. That is really great, I think. And also, when you think, you know, the individual aspect, you know, I want to tell you one or two things, you know, examples. Actually, given the follow-up meeting in Rajmundry, there's one sitting, you know, somewhere in the middle, and light was not so bright also there. And he always used to see like this. He was looking like this. Now, I just think, he's not looking at me, but why does he come? He's always looking that side, you know. He's looking like this. He was looking somewhere and turning his head. Now, I thought, why he's coming at all? But you know, I came to know after the meeting that he came up to me and he was a blind man. I couldn't see that, you know. He was turning like this so that he could hear me properly. And I was amazed that he has been attending every single follow-up meeting since the time we started. And he was able to say that it's only truth, you know. And really I was wondering, that blind man is able to clearly see the truth. And he was the only blind man who was physically blind. The rest of them were also blind. But they were also seeing. So that was wonderful, you know. His name is T. Paul, by the way. Let us pray that he will remain till the end. And there was one sister, Elizabeth, an elderly sister, who happened to come to Bangalore to visit. And that's another sister. To visit her sons there. And our Bangalore meeting was going on. And she saw that and we announced the one-year meeting. And you know something? She never went back to her place. You know, she said, I will finish this 1 year of study and then go back. So much so, you know, brethren, her husband was offended. Even though they are retired and old people, you know, he said, this is not what you do. You leave me and go to the meeting. Which is that pastor or who is that preacher who asked you to do such a thing? And, but she said, I don't get this truth in my place. So that's how, that's wonderful. Her name is Elizabeth. And then there is one brother, you know, Shivasankar. He recently consecrated, you know, came out of the Babylon. He had 4 bypass surgeries. He had all kinds of, you know, most of the time he used to spend in the hospital. But in spite of that, he would climb up 3 times a week, you see, into the second floor to attend a meeting. 3 times. He should come to the Tamil service, to Kannada, as well as English, so that he can get it very clearly. And he has such good notes written. And really, I wondered, in that age and with that difficulty and the truth, really. And you know what he said? He said, I used to be very often in hospitals before, but now since I'm studying, you know, I've not gone to hospitals so that much. Really, you know, it is having a healing effect, not only the soul, spirit, but also the body. Anyway, there was another young pastor, very zealous, and you know, he used to hear this and he used to tell that in his church, until they kicked him out of the church, you see. And now he wants to attend with us. So it's happening, and there's one brother I remember very well, you know, he wanted the volumes very much. I said, finish the first volume, then we'll give you the second. Meanwhile, we are waiting for some parcel to arrive, and we're telling him, no, he wanted it. Then somehow we gave him the 6 volumes, and then he said, you know, brother, I'm taking this because I read in Amos that there's going to come a time of famine when there will be no work, so I don't want to be in that, so I will keep it. You know, let it be with me. He was not satisfied until we gave him the volumes. And so, brethren, there are so many things to say. And I can tell you one thing that, you know, in this work which has started, the whole India is opening up so many opportunities, brethren. Really, one last thing I must tell you. It's like, you know, in Acts, Philip was there and there was this Ethiopian officer outside Jerusalem reading something. And Philip went and said, read us north, understand us thou what you read. And that's exactly something that well happened, you know. So one day I was coming from Rajmundry and I wanted to have rest in train a little bit. We had hectic meetings. And then there was this man who opened his Bible and he was struggling and writing something there. He was actually was with a group of scientists and he was an ammunition inspector coming to Bangalore. And he said, I really said something like, understand us now, what we are, read us. And he was not understanding because he was trying to calculate all the chronology. And yes, you do by your own, for the first time, it's very difficult. And he had some problems, you know, to get along. Then immediately I placed in front of him the true Bible chronology. Clearly typed out. He was so thrilled.
You know, he said, and that is what I was waiting for. I wanted the clear picture, and he got it ready-made. Until Bangalore, we were talking and discussing, and he was very, very keen and interested. And in Bangalore, we had 2 or 3 times meetings. And then he was said, you just come to Vishakhapatnam. Let's be on Rajahmundry. He said, in my Baptist church, I'm everything. I can do anything. And I have so many people with me. We invite you as a speaker. You come. So there's an opening. No, I cannot go. I must go. So openings like that. So brethren, so much is happening because there is the harvest is white and ready in India. It was not, you know, there was Brother Gilbert and Brother Jayappa those days who struggled so much. But you know, they could not get so much response. You know why? The wheat was not yet ripe. That's the problem. When the pastor, Russell came to India, the Christians could hardly read Bible and they were not ready. But now we see, brethren, the field and it's white and ready to harvest. So that's a big job, brethren. We can't do it by ourselves. We need your interest. We need your prayers. We need your knowledge. We need your talents. And we need your support. And if we could do it together, we can finish off with so much work. So thank you for this patience and continue to pray for this. I'm very glad. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Varma. We appreciate your showing us the slides and telling us about the work in India. I'm sure it gave us a much better appreciation for the work that is going on there and the success that you are having amongst those that you witness to. We're going to close by having the Songs in the Night read by Brother Jim Moss, and then we'll sing a hymn and close with prayer. Brother Jim.
December 31st. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14:23. Have you heard the cry, the knock, announcing our bridegroom's presence? Are you awake? Are you seeing to it that you are clothed with the righteousness of Christ as with a garment? See that under his direction you keep it without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and help one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, remembering that it is written, the Lamb's wife hath made herself ready. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
As we come to the end of another year, and we've just heard about brethren who are striving to know the Lord better and come into a relationship with him in other parts of the world, I can't think of a better hymn that we could close with than hymn 23, Christian Fellowship, realizing that we have fellowship with our brethren around the world. And so we will sing all the verses standing on the last stanza. And at its conclusion, we'll be led in closing prayer by Brother Chris Brayerton from Oakland County Ecclesia. Thank you.
Dear loving and heavenly Father, holy and blessed is your name. We thank you so much for the rich blessings of this day. We thank you for the visible evidence of your mighty hand at work. We ask your blessing on all those present. We ask your blessing upon those that may be traveling tonight or tomorrow morning on their way home. We ask your blessing upon our fellowship following this meeting and upon all our conversations throughout the rest of this evening and on to the new year. And we pray that as we end this evening, that our thoughts reflect over this day, that our hearts will be full of praise and glory for the participation that each of us have in your work here upon your footstool, whether it's just praying or giving of our time or our financial resources. We thank you that we may be of any service in any way to advance your cause. We thank you for the knowledge of your Son, Jesus, and all that is going on this side of the veil and on the other side of the veil. And we thank you for all these insights and your great and precious promises and the truth set forth. And we thank you for all these things in his most precious name. Amen.